Translation by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. On that very spot, the fiercely dangerous Rakshasi took Krishna on her lap and pushed her breast into his mouth. The nipple of her breast was smeared with a dangerous, immediately effective poison. But the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, becoming very angry at her, took hold of her breast, squeezed it very hard with both hands, and sucked out both the poison and her life. Srila Prabhupada's purport. Lord Krishna was not angry at Putana for his own sake. Rather, he was angry because the Rakshasi had killed so many small children in Vrajabhumi. Therefore, he decided that she should be punished by having to forfeit her life. So this killing of the demon Putana is one of the most instructive leelas of Sri Krishna. Because Putana, she came acting as if she was a devotee. She pretended to be a devotee, but she had a hidden agenda. She had an ulterior motive. She didn't come to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. She came to please herself and Kamsa. She came to kill the Lord. So she was not a resident of Braj, but she came there presenting it, you know, being a Rakshasi, she had mystic power. So she took the form of a beautiful young gopi mother. And she approached Mother Yashoda. Oh, Mother Yashoda, you have such a beautiful son, Sri Krishna. What pious activities have you performed in your previous life that you should get the most beautiful of all children? How greatly fortunate you are that you are able to hold him in your arms. There is no child comparable to your Krishna. If I could just hold him in my arms for 30 seconds, I would consider my life to be a success. So Mother Yashoda and Mother Rohini and the other ladies that were there, they were thinking, oh, such a nice lady. She wants to just hold Krishna. Why not? So they wanted to please this young lady who appeared to really appreciate Krishna and was glorifying them. But within her heart, she just wanted to kill this child. So she's presenting herself as a devotee, but she's a false devotee. She's a fake. She's not coming to glorify the Lord. She's coming for her own purpose. So Mother Yashoda, she hands Krishna over to this lady, thinking she's a very sweet lady. And Putana's thinking, now's my chance. This is it. And what she didn't realize, you know, it's described here in that verse that at this point in time, this fiercely dangerous Rakshasi took Krishna on her lap and pushed her breast into his mouth, which was smeared with poison. So Krishna, however, being the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he knew everything in advance. He knew who she was. He knew why she was coming. He had sussed the whole thing out long before Putana even arrived there. So he decided that, well, the way Prabhupada described it, I remember hearing a class Prabhupada gave, and he was speaking about this particular pastime. And I always remembered this, because the way Prabhupada said it, he said, Krishna always takes the bright side. He always sees the bright side, never sees the black, never sees the dark side. So Prabhupada said, oh, she's approaching me like a mother. So he sucked out her poison, killed her, destroyed that demoniac mentality and that demoniac Rakshasi body, and sent her back home, back to Godhead. There was nothing bright, nothing good about Putana's intention or her approach, but somehow or other, Krishna found something good. This is Krishna, our dear most well-wishing friend. Even though it was 100% bad, he found one thing good. Oh, she's approaching me like a mother. That's good. Although she wasn't approaching him like a mother, she was approaching him like a murderer. But Krishna always takes the bright side, is what Srila Prabhupada said. And in this purport, he says that Krishna wasn't really angry at her, because Krishna knows everyone is Nitya Krishna Das. Every living entity is the eternal servant of Krishna. Though we may be playing so many roles, as Shakespeare said, all the world's a stage and everyone in it merely players. We're all playing the role of male, sometimes the role of female, sometimes the Indian role, sometimes the English role, sometimes the rich role, sometimes the pauper role. In this way, sometimes the Vaishnava role, and sometimes the demoniac role, sometimes the sincere actor, and sometimes the fake actor. So in this way, everyone is presenting themselves in a particular way, but Krishna can see beyond that. He can see deeper, that beyond the body, beyond the conception, beyond the play, beyond the acting, beyond the hidden agenda that no one else can see, Krishna knows. She's spirit soul. Everyone is spirit soul, part and parcel of my spiritual energy. So he's not angry at her. He sees her in a very nice way. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 5, verse 29, Bhoktaram yagatapasam, although I am the enjoyer of all tapasya that anyone does and all yagyas that other people perform, sarva loka maheshwaram, although I am the supreme controller, Maha Ishwara, of all the planets and everyone in every living entity in every planet, still, suridam sarva bhutanam, I have a very sweet heart for every living entity. Suhrid, sweetheart. Krishna has a sweetheart for every living entity. Gyatva mam, and anybody who knows this about me, shantim richati, attains peace and happiness. No stress, no anxiety. Na sochati, na kankshati. No lamentation, no hankering. So Krishna sees everyone with equal vision, samak sarveshu bhuteshu, because he sees them all as spiritual, satchit ananda sparks of his splendor. However, we are misusing our minute independence, and we are actors on the stage of the material world, presenting ourselves in so many different ways for the object of increasing our sense gratification, our name, fame, and fortune. So our main concern is, what's in it for me? What's the best for me? My main concern is me first. And that's why Krishna says, sarva dharman parityaja mam ekam sharanam vraja. Forget all these dharmas with you first. Forget all these so-called religious principles. Mam ekam, make me first. Do everything for me. Mam ekam, mam, me, ekam, number one. Make me number one. Sharanam, surrender to that. So in other words, we should only be playing one role. No matter what body we're in, whatever what situation we're in, we're in, no matter where we find ourselves, our one role as a player is Das, 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 under Das. The servant of the servant of the servant of the servant. And we're being trained up to become the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant of Sri Sri Radha Gokulananda. And that is the meaning of Anudas, the trainee Das, the apprentice Das. We are the persons who are in training that maybe one day, if we're sincere and if we do everything properly, we will rise to the position where we're actually accepted by Sri Krishna as Das or Dasi, his actual servant. Because to be a servant of the Supreme Lord is the most exalted position, and it's only attainable when one comes to the platform of purity, sincerity, humility. When we reach that Satchit Ananda platform, Brahma-bhuta-pra, where we see everyone as spirit soul, prasanatma, and therefore we become joyful. Na sochati, na kangshati, no hankering, no lamenting, no stress, no anxiety. Because we see everyone with equal vision. Samak sarveshu bhuteshu. And then what happens? Krishna awards us with mad bhaktim labhate param labhate. Then you are able to acquire mad bhaktim, my pure devotional service. Mad bhaktim labhate param, which is supreme. So, that is the goal. This verse describes the goal. Brahma-bhuta prasanatma. The goal is to come to the spiritual platform. How do we know someone's at the spiritual platform? Two symptoms. One, prasanatma. He's joyful. The atma is happy, blissful. And samasarveshu bhuteshu, because he sees everyone with equal vision. Then Krishna awards us with pure devotional service. So we're in training. We're the trainees. Another verse, Krishna describes this process from a different angle, chapter 9, verse 2. He says, Rajavidya, this is the topmost knowledge, Rajaguyam. However, it's also the most confidential knowledge. It's very interesting. Prabhupada translates the most confidential knowledge as the most secret of all secrets. It's so secret that even when you reveal the secret, people don't get it. It still remains a secret. That's how secret it is. And even when you reveal the secret, it still remains a secret. It's the most confidential knowledge. Why? Pavitram, because it's the purest knowledge, the purest understanding. And as we become more and more pure, we become more and more able to understand it. Pavitram, the purest. Uttamam, the most transcendental. So it's beyond what we have conceived of in the material world. It's beyond our own experience, this pure, loving, devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And when we understand that, pavitram idam uttamam pratyakshavagamam dharmyam, and how do we get this understanding? It's realized directly from within our heart. Pratyaksha. We get that direct realization. And what is the symptom? How do we know that someone's got that direct realization? Susukam kartum. Everything he does joyfully. Every action is joyfully performed. If we're not joyful, if we're not performing our service joyfully, we've not reached that platform yet. I remember another class that Prabhupada gave. You know, many times Prabhupada would say things in such a wonderful way that it just stuck with me, and I repeated it over the decades for so many people. So another thing he said, which is very poetic, morose means Maya. Morose means Maya. He said it after saying that the devotees are always jolly. Susukam, everything they do is joyfully performed. So he said, devotees are always jolly. This does not mean that we're not serious. We're very serious about devotional service. But we're happy, we're jolly. Because morose means Maya. For unhappy, upset, disturbed, it's Maya. That's not our constitutional position. Our constitutional position is susukam kartum. Sukam means joyful. Susukam, it means more joyful than joyful. Just as we have more secrets, the most secret of all secrets, devotional service is more joyful than joyful. It's blissful. It's ecstatic. And how long does it last? Susukam kartam avyayam, it's inexhaustible. There is no end. Not only that, but it's increasing. It becomes more and more blissful and more ecstatic the more we perform devotional service, the more we get deeper into it, the more sincere we are. Sri Sri Radha Gokulananda ki, the more dedicated we are, the more committed we are, the more blissful we become. That's devotional service. So Krishna says, pratyakshavagamam dharmam. We can realize this from within the heart. How does that happen? Well, in the 15th chapter, 15th shloka, Krishna says, sarvasya chaham hridi sannivishto, I am seated in everyone's heart. Mattas mrityir ganam apohanam cha. And from me comes remembrance. From me within the heart comes knowledge. And from me within the heart comes forgetfulness. So let's analyze these three things that come from Krishna, from within our heart, so we get a complete understanding. Mata smritir. Whatever we can remember that we're spirit soul, whenever we can remember that I am the servant of the servant, whenever I can remember that my constitutional position is to perform devotional service for the pleasure of the Lord, whenever I'm in that consciousness, it's because Krishna is giving me that remembrance. Whatever knowledge I have, I know that I am the servant of the servant. I know that I'm pure spirit soul. I know I'm not this body. I know I've had millions of births. I know that if I follow this process, this will become my last birth. I know I can go back home, back to Godhead. And that knowledge comes from Krishna. He gives it to us, or he doesn't give it to us. Mata smritir jnanam apohanam cha. The apohan shakti is the forgetful shakti, where Krishna covers us so that we don't remember, we forget. So someone will say, well, look, we're Krishna's devotees. Krishna is speaking this to Arjuna. Why would he give us his apohan shakti and make us forget that we're his eternal servant? Why would he do that? It's not logical. It's not in my best interest. It's not even in Krishna's interest. What is Krishna's interest? He explains this in chapter 10, verse 10. Tesham satata yuktanam. Anyone, tesham means those persons, any person. Tesham satata yuktanam, that are always engaged in what? Bhajatam. They're always engaged in worshiping me. How? Priti purvakam, with love, complete love. So such persons, tesham, to such persons, dadami buddhi yogam tam, I give the intelligence of bhakti yoga, buddhi yoga. Buddhi, the intelligence of yoga. He's speaking about bhakti yoga. I give them the intelligence of yoga. Why does he give them the intelligence of yoga? Yena mam upayantite, so they can come to me. Krishna wants us to come to him. That's what he wants. So why is he going to throw his opahan shakti on us and make us forget him? Why would he do that? It's against his own interest. It's against our interest. Who knows the answer? Yes. I wasn't really clear what you said. He's fulfilling our desire for sense gratification. Very good. Which means that I have to be an illusion to think I'm this body. So in order to fulfill my desire for sense gratification, he covers the remembrance that I'm spirit soul and that I'm his eternal servant and that my constitutional position is to satisfy his senses. And he allows us to satisfy our own senses and forget about Krishna. So the overriding consideration is love. And now here's another thing that Prabhupada told me that stuck with me. People want to know, what does love mean? Here's what Prabhupada said. Love means no force. Krishna doesn't force. He has so much love for us, he allows us to go astray. He allows us to make our own mistakes so that we can come to our own realization. Whoops, I made a mistake. You know, the turning point. We've all heard this phrase, the turning point. What is the turning point? Well, the turning point is we have come into this material world, have forgotten Krishna, and then at a certain point we realize, oops, this is not what I want. This is not the goal of life. This, and we turn back to Krishna. So we've reached that turning point, and now we have to become resolute in determination that we don't fall back into our old habit of sense enjoyment, of me first, Krishna last. Or even me first, Krishna second. That's still not what Krishna wants. Mam ekang sharanam vraja. Krishna wants to be number one. He wants you to make him number one in your life. Now, why does he want that? Why is he stressing that? Verse after verse after verse in the Bhagavad Gita. Is it because Krishna's lonely? Nah. Is it because Krishna has low self-esteem? Nope, not that either. Why is it that Krishna's stressing, make me number one, make me number one? Is he starving for affection? No. Why is he saying that again and again? And the answer is simple. Because each and one, every one of us, is number one in Krishna's heart. And he wants us to make him number one in our hearts also. Because that's what love is. Love means I make you number one in my heart and you make me number one in your heart. So Krishna wants our love. And Prabhupada explained that we have to come forward and offer our love to Krishna because love means no force. Krishna will never force. So Krishna is sitting in our heart. He is our secret admirer, birth after birth after birth. waiting for us patiently, standing in the shadows of love, waiting for us to turn around and say, you know what, Krishna? You're the one I was looking for the whole time. And when we come to that position, and we take up this process of bhakti yoga, devotional service, a smile appears on Krishna's face. He's happy. Oh, how sweet. And Radharani is so happy too. Oh, look, Krishna, this wonderful devotee here, he's serving you now. He's chanting your name. Give him your complete mercy. Now, how do we relate this to the killing of the Putana demon? Well, we're also approaching Krishna now. But how are we approaching Krishna? Are we approaching Krishna with sincerity, with purity, for his pleasure, for his benefit? Or are we the representative of Putana? We're doing it for our own benefit. Are we using Krishna as a stepping stone so that I can make advancement and go to a higher platform? Or am I coming to serve Krishna out of love, the way a mother serves her child? Let me just ask the ladies one question. Do any of you ladies serve your children thinking that when they grow up, they'll make a lot of money and pay you back? Does anyone have that mentality? No. Nobody. So you're doing it only for the benefit of the child? Yes. And that's why Srila Prabhupada said the closest thing in this material world to love for Krishna is the love for a mother for her child. It's the closest thing, but yet it's so far away also. Why? Because the mother only has love for her own child and not for any of the other children on the street or in the town or in the world. Whereas Krishna's love is for every single living entity equally. Makes no distinction. So we're now approaching Sri Sri Radha Gokulananda, offering service. I want to look into my own heart and I want to see how sincere am I? Why am I doing this? Do I have a hidden agenda? Whose benefit am I serving Krishna? Am I doing it for my benefit? Or am I doing it to give him some pleasure? Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Prabhupada explained to us that his Guru Maharaj taught him, don't go into the temple to see Krishna. Go into the temple so that Krishna sees you. In other words, who am I? I'm not the body. I'm not coming into the temple so Krishna can see my body. I'm coming into the temple so Krishna can see me, his eternal servant, Nitya Krishna Das, pure spirit soul. I'm here for your service. What can I do for you? And when I enter in that mood and I see Radha Gokulananda, and I see, oh my God, they're so unbelievably beautiful. What have I been missing for all these millions of births? What a waste. What a loss. Thank God that Srila Prabhupada came as the representative of Sri Sri Radha Gokulananda and as a representative of all the acharyas throughout the ages to revive our eternal consciousness, to shake us out of this amnesia, thinking that I'm this external body made of flesh and blood and bones. So this is the teaching. So Lord Krishna was not angry at Putana because she was trying to kill him. He was not angry at her at all for any other reason. However, he was upset with her that she had killed so many other small children. This is not very good. I'm going to have to stop this nonsense activity of yours. And so he decided she should be punished, and he took her life. The life, the material life. He took away her material life, her material body, and gave her eternal life in Vaikuntha. Is that a good deal for Putana? It was a good deal for her. How many people agree? It was a super deal. She didn't even deserve it. She did nothing to get Krishna's mercy. So when I think of this pastime, I think that our position is much more favorable than Putana. We're in a better position than Putana. And she got Krishna's mercy. Our position is looking pretty good all of a sudden, you know. And if I become more sincere and more dedicated, I'm practically guaranteed to go back home, back to Godhead. And I'm not just saying this. I'm saying this because Prabhupada said it. In 1975, in Los Angeles, where I was living in 1975, he gave him a Bhagavatam class in the morning, and he finished the class by saying, "So, if you follow all my instructions, everything that I have given you," and he explained what they were, chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, attending the aartis, eating prasadam, going out distributing books, Harinam Sankirtan, all the things that he taught us. He said, "So, if you follow all my instructions, I guarantee that in this life, you go back home, back to Godhead." I was there. I heard it with my own ears. And in the Brahmachari Ashram, we were all talking about it. Wow! Prabhupada gave a guarantee. Everyone was blissful. Of course, there were some questions. Some people said, "Well, what if we're not 100% pure? Then what happens?" There were all kinds of questions. We didn't have the answers. We only had the questions. But Prabhupada gave the guarantee. And I thought about it, and I thought about it, and I thought about it. And I was thinking, how can Prabhupada give a guarantee, because he's not the one who's in charge or in control of taking people back to Godhead. He's just the guide. He's just the messenger. And then I remembered this shloka from the Bhagavad Gita, because whenever I think deeply about something and I really want to know the answer, Krishna fulfills our desires. This we already we already agreed upon earlier. He fulfills our desires. So he fulfills your desire of whatever you want to know. Just let him know, "Hey, I want to know this." And he'll give you that realization from within. Dami buddhi yogam dham. So he directed me to this verse. Name bhakta pranashyati. Declare it boldly, Arjuna. My devotee shall never perish. And then I realized, yes, Krishna said to Prabhupada, "Declare it boldly, Prabhupada, that if your followers execute your orders, you can tell them, guaranteed to go back to home, back to Godhead in this very life." And that evening, the Bhagavad Gita class was given by Hridayananda Maharaj. And his whole class, he was referring to what Prabhupada said in the morning, because everyone was talking about it all day. Prabhupada gave a guarantee, "This is our last life, we're going back to Godhead." So in the Bhagavad Gita class, he said, "Yes, Prabhupada has given us a guarantee, but we should be very careful that we don't void the warranty." And he gave an example. When you purchase a new car or a new piece of electronic equipment, comes with a guarantee that if something goes wrong, within a certain time period, you can take it back and they'll honor that warranty and fix it at no cost. But if you tamper with it, you don't follow the instructions of the warranty, then you void the warranty. So Hridayananda Maharaj said, so we should be very careful not to void the warranty that Prabhupada has given us. So that's part of our sincerity, to try our best to fulfill his instructions. Nobody's perfect. Nobody is strong. We're all imperfect. We're all weak. We're all struggling. Krishna knows this. Prabhupada knows this. And Krishna even explains this very clearly in Bhagavad Gita. Apichet sudaracharo bhajate mam ananyabhak. You may be performing devotional service and you have a fall down. But not just a small fall down. You fall down to the most abominable position. Still, if you carry on in devotional service, sadureva samantavya, Krishna says, I will still consider you a sadhu. I will still consider you saintly. So Prabhupada explains in this, in the purport, he says, Krishna has given us this blessing. We fall down once or twice, accidental fall down, we carry on in devotional service, Krishna will still consider us a sadhu. We don't void the warranty, just like Putana. Sadhu Reva Samantavya, somehow or other, Sri Krishna saw she was the eternal spirit soul, his surrendered servant, and he gave her liberation, even though she was the demoness, killing, performing the most abominable activity. So our situation is so much more favorable than Putana's. So our future is so bright. You can't even realize how bright, we can't even realize how bright our future is. But our future is so bright that we'll all have to wear sunglasses. But don't deviate, as Srila Prabhupada said so many times. Don't deviate. Stay in devotional service. Don't leave. Carry on no matter what happens. There may be fall downs. There may be difficulties. We're weak. We understand this. But keep on keeping on. And guaranteed to go back home, back to Godhead in this life. So I think I'll stop here, and maybe there's some questions before we break. Yes, you were first, you're second.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you for a very nice and inspiring class. I have a question about this verse on the Bhagavad Gita, the Apichet Sudaracharo.
Yes.
Krishna speaks about fall-down, and we hear accidental fall-down.
Right.
I was wondering if we could, if you could elaborate on what is actually an accidental fall down, because someone may, a devotee may do something. There's a certain degree of premeditation required in order to perform an activity.
Right.
We have this idea accidental is like you slip on a banana skin and you fall down, but when you take some money and you go to see some whatever
a nightclub.
Yeah, you took some steps.
Yeah.
It took some time. You had to meditate on what you... So how accidental is that?
So this is a very good question. And this question was asked of Srila Prabhupada. So I'm going to give you his answer. Not even my answer, his answer. So Prabhupada, when he was speaking about this verse on a morning walk, he was saying that accidental fall down may be there one time, two times, three downs. Three times, but if it's premeditated, if it's a planned fall down, that is the greatest offense. So one devotee raised the hand and said, Srila Prabhupada, how do we know if the fall down is planned or if it's accidental? Is that your question? Okay, that was the question that was asked Prabhupada. So Prabhupada paused. And after a few moments, he said, if he comes back, the fall down was accidental. So when I heard that, my understanding was, okay, someone falls down and in a few days or a week, they come back, carry on in devotional service. It's accidental fall down. That's what I thought originally. But my experience has being more than 40 years involved in this was different. Because I've seen devotees who left devotional service and fell down to the most abominable lifestyle for 10 years, 20 years. And then they came back and left their bodies in the association of devotees, getting the garland from the deities, hearing Prabhupada's tape being chanted, being served Mahaprasad, and leaving their bodies hearing the holy name. And I thought, oh my God. They came back. Prabhupada's considering this an accidental fall down, even though they've been away for 20 years. And I saw it on several occasions. And I had the realization that if Prabhupada considers it's an accidental fall down, if they come back, that Krishna must honor that. Krishna honors the word of his pure devotee. So Prabhupada said, if he comes back, I considered it an accidental fall down. Krishna says, okay, I honor that. But if you plan this, if this is premeditated, that is the greatest offense. That's the seventh offense. Let me commit sinful activities and I'll come back and chant the holy name and go back to Godhead. That is the greatest offense. So Krishna is in your heart. Mata smritir gyanam apoanam sha. So he knows everything. So this is the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. So it's our consciousness, it's our mentality, it's our attitude that makes the difference. And if we're sincerely repentant and we beg for Krishna's forgiveness and mercy, then we're rightly situated. And Krishna, by honoring the word of Prabhupada, if you come back again, fixed in devotional service, they'll consider it an accidental fall down. But don't take advantage of this. Yeah, next.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you for the class. My question is, you mentioned how we should approach Krishna in a sincere mode. So my realization was that even if we want to give love but still have this desire to receive love, it's still not pure, it's still a manifestation of lust. So my problem is that it was really frustrating for me that I couldn't, even though if I tried, that I couldn't really come to the point where it's where I don't have this expectation. So how can we deal with it and how can we purify our sincerity and our desire?
Well, there's expectations and there's acceptance. And we want to give up expecting and start getting into the mood of accepting. Accepting whatever comes my way is Krishna's mercy. Now, if I win the lottery, I think that's Krishna's mercy. And if I get smashed, I don't think it's Krishna's mercy. But actually, maybe I need to learn a lesson. Advaita Acharya, he always considered that getting the real mercy means getting chastised. That's the real mercy, because then you learn something. So he had that vision. If I'm getting chastised, I'm really getting the mercy. And if everything good's coming my way, I'm not learning anything. I'm not progressing. So the understanding we should have is that, what is love? Love means it's something that you give. And when you give, you automatically, receive it back. So I know I'm going to get it back anyway. You give love to Krishna, you think he's going to not reciprocate? Yaya tamam prapadyante tams tataiva bhajam yaham. As you approach me, I reciprocate accordingly, Krishna says. You approach with a little bit of love, he'll reciprocate that. You approach as a pure devotee, he'll reciprocate that. You approach as a mother, he'll reciprocate that, even if you're faking it and you're putana. You get it? So, yaya tamam prapadyante tams tataiva bhajam yaham. This is probably my most favorite verse in the Bhagavad Gita. Because this verse, Krishna reveals how he becomes subordinate to us and how we can control our relationship with Krishna. Because the more we give, the more he reciprocates. The more I love I give, the more he reciprocates. The more service I give, the more he reciprocates. I can control it. I can take it to the highest level by giving more, and he reciprocates. So it takes the same amount of time, takes the same amount of energy to give 10% as to give 100%. So why not give 100% and have Krishna reciprocate 100%? You understand? But even if you give 10%, Krishna will reciprocate. Even if you give 1%, he'll reciprocate. And when we get that reciprocation, then we feel that connection. So we've come here to become reconnected to Krishna, but the goal is not to become connected. The goal is to have union with Krishna. Union. From connection is union. We want to enter into a loving union. And that's the meaning of yoga, union, bhakti yoga, union through devotional service. So now we have connection, first step. We have to go deeper to get actual union. Yaya tamam prapadyante, and as I serve Krishna, he will reciprocate accordingly. And he decides what accordingly is. You may think it's 1-to-1. Krishna may decide, 100-to-1. Oh, I like this boy. 1,000-to-1. You approach, give one thing, he'll one step towards him, he'll take 1,000 towards you. He decides what is accordingly. Is that a good deal for us? So why aren't we taking advantage of it? That's the question I have to ask myself. Why am I not taking advantage of this? I must be fool number one. Any other points for discussion? Thank you very much, dear devotees, for inviting me to your wonderful temple and requesting me to speak a little about Krishna. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna. May Krishna bless you all.